Hello, welcome. It is the 90-Day Website Mastery Program podcast. Hope you're well. I'm here with my co-host, Pascal Fintoni. Are you all right, Pascal?
I'm very good. I can't just say, I hope it's not wrong to say, but I love this intro. I just like it a lot.
I love the music. This is episode 48. Can you believe it? We're excited to bring you even more valuable insights and practical advice to help you enhance your website's performance. Join us as we explore strategies to make your website work harder for you, reigniting your pride in your online presence. As always, we're live on LinkedIn, we're live on Instagram, and we are live on YouTube. Perhaps you're listening to the podcast or watching the video replay. However you are here, we love that you're here. Thank you for joining us. Please keep giving us feedback. Please keep giving us questions, because one of our first segments is going to go into one of the questions we've received very recently, or certainly something that happened at a recent workshop. So as I said, it's episode 48. This one is called Why You Still Need a Website Even If LinkedIn Is Working For You. As always, we have four segments. Perhaps we should just dive in. What do you think, Pascal?
Let's do this.
Let's do this. You ask, we answer.
Thank you very much. And people watching the video version, you could tell just before this intro that I was getting myself really ready to tackle this, because this is what happened to me last week, Johnny, hence the inspiration for You Ask, We Answer with the title for this recording. So I was doing a workshop on AI for digital marketing. There's a lovely, lovely little kind of activity where we use Notebook LM by Google, one of my favorite AI platforms, and we use it to do a critique of the website. We use the audio overviews, we use the mind maps, we use all kind of things. And then one of the participants just put his hand up and said, listen, I don't have a website, and to be honest with you, I'm doing fine with LinkedIn. I've got a LinkedIn profile, it's working fine, so what would I want to have a website now? And some of the participants have been on previous workshops. Actually, a lady had bought the book WebRAM, and she burst into laughter and said, well, if anyone's going to tell you why you need a website today, even though LinkedIn is working for you, that's Pascal. But I tell you what, I'd love to, you know, if it had been you in that room, Johnny, what would you have said or responded perhaps during the coffee break?
Yeah, I mean, okay, so first of all, I'd be kind to them and say, well, actually, you know, LinkedIn, there's an audience there. Absolutely, if it's working well, then that's brilliant. But you are, of course, controlled by LinkedIn, and LinkedIn could soon change the algorithm and things could change. And also, you're not really getting across your brand, your presence, your, you know, so many things. So I think there's probably sort of five things that jump to mind for me. One would be about credibility and first impressions. So the ability to really create far more trust and awareness, and in terms of that look and feel, instead of just having a profile that everyone's got on LinkedIn, you really can control that. Because I was in something last week about, you know, brand isn't just a logo and a font, it's a feeling, and that's what that's what a website should give, that feeling, that first impression. The second thing would be the ability to control your own narrative. So, you know, if you've be able to whether that be thought leadership or whether that be humor or whatever it might be, to be able to just sort of put your own content out in your own way, and not in a very uniform LinkedIn way. The third thing is visibility beyond LinkedIn. So obviously you're just in that LinkedIn ecosystem, and there's so much more out there. There's only a proportion of people that are on LinkedIn, and never mind that are actually active on LinkedIn. And that obviously leads into things like scalability and lead generation as well, being able to tap into other audiences, bring in things like case studies and testimonials to really back up what you're doing. And then I guess future-proofing, because, you know, digital landscape is constantly shifting, and there is always movements of between these platforms, and you need to have your own so that you've got that future-proof as well. So yeah, I think it's good that LinkedIn's working for you, but you absolutely not just, this isn't just about a backup plan. This is about a real credibility and first impression behind LinkedIn, way more important.
Thank you so much for that. Alice, perfect. Listen, I was kind to, you know, I did not hit the man with the copy web brand on the head. But actually, what I did was actually looking at it and saying, well, since you enjoy using LinkedIn so much, you know, tell me more about it. And so I got to the point and said, well, would it be nice if you wrote maybe a LinkedIn post or LinkedIn article? Would it be nice if this was available for not just a week? Usually that's, you know, and that's actually very ambitious, a week worth of visibility on LinkedIn for anything you do. Would it be nice if, you know, in months or years to come, somebody else could actually access your wisdom, your thoughts, and so on? And I could see the spark, you know, I can't be sure that I convinced him completely. I could see the spark of this idea. Okay, yeah, I can see that. And then when we moved into the second activity about how to be part of the AI summaries, I could see a bit more. The spark become a very small flame. But, you know, everything you heard from Johnny is correct. And for me, it's this ability to enjoy, you know, nurturing your online presence because you have full control of your website. And LinkedIn, it's, you know, you can't change it. You know, it is the way it is. And the algorithm are just as helpful or awful, you know, as they come. But for me, the website is actually to enjoy practicing digital marketing. And that's the best platform for it.
And for me, playing the Google game, which, by the way, when I say Google, I'm including every AI bot under the sun as well now. But that game of being visible and being at the top and being mentioned, and that's a constant game, and you can do far more with a website than you can with a LinkedIn profile. So yeah, I would agree with that as well. Great first segment. Let's move on to our next segment, which is website stories.
So the story, you could say, that I've chosen for this segment is an article from Adweek. And I keep an eye on it. You know, I don't read it as much as I used to in my younger days. But this one really kind of jumped at me. So the title is as follows, Johnny. AI is disrupting everything. Why not podcasting? This was written by Mark Stenberg and is the senior media reporter for Adweek. And he attended a podcast conference. And he was kind of reflecting on this experience of being there at the conference, where he was saying, you know, it's evident to me that AI has been very supportive with regard to podcast creation, what you call the back-end efficiencies or maybe the marketing. But actually, nobody is talking yet about AI being actually used to create and be the voice of those podcast episodes until... And a startup company in the US created a completely new show, completely new kind of channel, thousands literally of podcast episodes costing them less than $1 per episode, becoming almost like a content factory. And saying, you know, we need to have a conversation, everyone, which wasn't the case at the conference. We need to have a conversation about where do we go from there? Because now we have the coexistence of purely AI-produced audio content. And of course, we have humans creating their content. And are we going to fight it out? Are we going to collaborate and so on? But we need to have that conversation. And the article, can I just say, by the way, from Mark, superbly written. It's very enjoyable form of written content. So I recommend everybody to check the hyperlink in the show notes and have a look at it. But I wanted to ask you quite simply, really, you know, would you listen to a podcast that you know for a fact is not human-generated, it's AI-generated? Would you consider using it for your business? And is there something in there about the future of written form of content and, of course, video form of content?
The short answer to this is yes, I would listen to an AI podcast. We all prefer content in different formats, whether that be reading, whether it be audio or visual. And I much prefer audio and visual to text-based content. And, you know, if I just think about the use of how much use I've done of Notebook LM, and whether that be for research, whether that be for understanding documents or even just, you know, taking strategies and putting them into that to then get some bigger picture, and how that turns it into a podcast in effect that is written by AI, voiced by AI. I listen to that and the whole thing suddenly becomes real, and suddenly I'm immersed in this. And the fact that these two people talking are actually AI doesn't really affect me in any way, shape or form, where, you know, which is, you could say is a bit bizarre, but I really engage with that. Really engage with that. And so therefore as long as the content is good, as long as I'm getting value out of it, as long as I'm not wasting time, because I've only got so many hours, minutes in the day, but if it's content that I want to devote time to, actually, yeah, I don't mind AI. I certainly wouldn't want to lose authenticity of human. I think where the content comes from, I'm confident there's a hybrid approach and a bit of both worlds. But in answer to your question, Pascal, I wouldn't be put off by an AI podcast.
Yeah, that's interesting. So give a couple of examples of what I do now. So I spend quite a bit of time in the car now. We're back to doing truly in-person events, you and I. And there's a time where the radio doesn't work for me and so on and so forth. So what I've done is been using Copilot quite a bit to have either conversations. So literally I'm expressing that I'm reflecting on this, or a question on behalf of a customer. I have a back and forth with the AI assistant, which is a very odd practice. Or what you can do with Copilot is you can actually in advance book a podcast. So you could say I'm exploring maybe the impact of the forthcoming UK AI Act, and you literally press submit, and then the next morning you have a 6-minute conversation pre-recorded between two podcast hosts about that thing, you know. So you've got that. Now, the article which may help this conversation suggests that, you know, the coexistence is probably the way forward, as opposed to trying to stop the AI, you know, all your content, you know, being there. I think you could if you tried. But if you accept that there's two types really of content, two types of listeners. You've got listeners who want the content and those who want the connection. And therefore, for formats like, you know, a recap on the news, business news, recap on the weather, on the sport, a very dry subject like the UK AI Act, where you don't need the connection, you just need the content, then maybe AI has a role to play there. But of course, if you want the connection because you want the storytelling, you want the interview, you want that, what I call, as you know, the elegant, you know, kind of clumsiness of being human, then you'd be looking at that. So I think that we're going to have, people are going to self-serve and probably say, for the kind of very disposable form of content, I'm happy for this to be an AI generated, and I will select the voice that suits me before the storytelling one, that where it gives me a recharge, help me recharge my creativity and batteries. I'll choose the storytellers, and it'd be fascinating to explore someone's Spotify, let's say, kind of list in a year's time compared to today, for sure.
Yeah, I do see this hybrid approach. I really do. And I think a good mix, and I can completely understand how bringing a subject to life by pre-asking a podcaster that when you're about to go on a drive or whatever, for me, that really brings it. It really does bring it to life. You know, whether I'm prepping for an event, whether I'm prepping for a meeting, putting some of that information into an AI to create a podcast is the sort of thing I'm already doing with Notebook LM. You're doing it with Copilot as well. And so it's no stretch of the imagination to just start listening to podcasts that are written by other people, but are voiced by AI. So I'm not against it in the slightest.
So can I ask very quickly before we move on to the next segment? So do you think that there is there's room for on a website for the kind of roundup type content to be done by AI, and that would be acceptable to both the website owner and the visitors, and therefore the business owner is freed up to get on with the real storytelling and the real kind of content that creates connections?
Well, yeah, for sure. This is about repurposing content, isn't it? So it's about, you know, you've got that piece of content that you're doing on a regular basis, whether that be a weekly, daily, monthly, quarterly, whatever it might be, that consistent piece of content. But then it's how you repurpose that. So, you know, it then turns into an email campaign. It then turns into the segments of that content go into email. So it would be absolutely right to then take something to round that content up in some kind of audio podcast format, and having a digital assistant that is your AI voice, and being really clear about it, I think is really normal. I mean, you know, on a totally separate subject, but related, I'm working with a sales team that have just implemented AI outbound sales calls. So this is where they've had inbound inquiries and they now need to qualify the person and take them through a process and then book them in for a consultation. And they've now implemented AI to do this. This isn't to replace jobs, by the way. This is to improve efficiencies and to allow the humans to do better things and be more productive and be more effective. So it's absolutely not to replace jobs either. But what the interesting bit is that the AI is being cleared that it's a virtual AI quite early on in the call, within the first sort of 30 seconds. And so far, no one has rejected continuing having the call. So it is really interesting. So I back it up with that as well.
Thank you very much. Excellent.
Let's go to our third segment, the website engine room.
So, Johnny, what wonders have you discovered that could make life easier as a website manager or content creator then?
Yeah, for sure. So I never really give any reflection on Microsoft. I'm a very Google person. I'm very open source. But I thought, you know what? A lot of my clients, a lot of my audience are Microsoft, whether they'd like it or not. It could be that it's their IT manager that's told them they're Microsoft. So I thought I would share their graphic design tool, MS Designer, which is designer.microsoft.com. And having a play, it really does allow you to create some stunning designs in a really quick way. You can integrate it seamlessly with the Office tools. There's loads of templates on there. There's, of course, AI is integrated and embedded in there. So it's a tool that if you are into the Microsoft ecosystem, you should definitely have a look at MS Designer, designer.microsoft.com, a little nice graphic design tool.
Excellent. You know, I'm the same. I'm all over Google and the other platforms, and sometimes Phil, because I've stumbled upon also a kind of a very, very simple video editing platform from Microsoft. So it's there. You know, it is happening, and particularly if it's, like you suggested, kind of supported by some kind of AI add-ons, then, yeah, people should definitely explore it. Well, we've done it again. We've done it again, Johnny, because without talking to each other, we have a very, very similar suggestion for the website engine room. So I've been working with clients a lot on, to your point earlier, about repurposing content. So successful articles become ebooks and so on and so forth. But within that, we're looking for ways to create striking front covers without ebooks. That's, you know, almost using the kind of Steve Jobs mentality of, it's so good, they're going to ask you for a print version of this, you know? So I came across this lovely platform called Night Cafe Studio. It's a lovely name, isn't it? Night Cafe Studio. And the reason why I chose it for today is because, A, very different to Canva, very different to everything else out there, which is what you want, you know, when you create visuals. And by the way, those visuals could become the header photos of articles or more social media. But it's very creative and very artistic in nature. And so from a first impression and from a wow factor, if you want to be promoting free downloads or, you know, and create a striking front cover or some kind of chapter sections, I highly recommend that you play with Night Cafe Studio. Lots of ways in which you can specify the style, the format, the look and feel and the palette and so on. And it's just lovely. And the other thing you can do as well is you can gift your creation to the community. And the more people use them, the more points you gain to then access a more advanced version of Night Cafe Studio.
I do like apps that give points. I am one of those people that fall for all of that. The first thing that's come to mind is reporting things on Waze and then seeing the points roll in. I love gamified apps. So for that reason alone, I might have to have a play.
Thank you very much.
Let's move on to our final segment, which is the website call to action.
Now, this is about the one change, the one adjustment you should be making right now to make your website work harder for you. So, Johnny, what is your recommendation?
Yeah, this is something that you can simply quickly do even today. Depending on your website, it could just be a few clicks and a sign up to a free tool. Install a heat map tool. So just to understand where users are scrolling, what they're clicking, what they're hovering over, and really understand, you know, the data's there. Start looking at how your users are using your website. It records little videos of where they're moving the mouse, how they're scrolling, things that they're looking at, where people are spending time, for you to then think about, actually, maybe if I move that content here or move this button here, it starts identifying places that potentially people are getting lost or having usability issues. So there's a few different tools. You could have a look at Hotjar or Microsoft Clarity, or you could even have a look at Crazy Egg. Microsoft Clarity is completely free as well. So that would be a really good one to look at. But the bottom line here is installing a heat map tool to really understand how your users are using your website and to start improving their experience.
Thank you so much for that. Great reminder. And often what I do with my clients, you know, we have a clear idea of what we hope to learn more. So sometimes the heat map could be on a very specific part of the website or something. Would, you know, that's strange. We thought people would do that more. Or is that strange that this is not downloading as much as we thought? So you can kind of learn so much by having something very clear in mind. So I mentioned, obviously, when we started that I did this AI for digital marketing workshop and be working a lot on the AI summaries. I've got this concept called the Google CV, and we play with that quite a bit. But it's occurred to me by having, you know, a room full of different businesses showing their AI summaries. It's clear to me now, Johnny, and to our viewers and listeners, that those AI summaries seem to favor a more eclectic range of sources of information than the, forgive me, old-fashioned Google, you know, search results. Only 3 years since AI, but there we are. It's obvious to me that it doesn't rely solely on the obvious branded website and the obvious kind of authoritative website. So my call to action really is to, for everybody that is in the business of doing news roundups or trends reviews or anything like this, even thought leadership with citations, to simply refresh your sources of news, change and add to your sources of trends, because we all have our habits and we have our go-to website kind of somewhere on the spreadsheet. And can really play to this idea of a more diverse and eclectic range of quotations and citations within the AI summaries. Have you seen that as well?
I absolutely have. And you end up in your own echo chamber, don't you? And so I think getting yourself out of that is so important, because we sort of feed ourselves a narrative and that actually isn't helpful at all a lot of times in terms of just, you know, growth of a business. And really, you start believing that things are as they are, but actually there's a whole nother world that you've just totally not aware of. And I am seeing that in AI summary, so it's a really good reminder of how we need to diversify on the type of content that we're feeding ourselves. Really, really important. Love that. And that is one call to action that you could, again, easily do today. You know, mm-hmm. Pick the topic or the theme of interest that you have, go and find a new source to read or listen to a new bit of information. Brilliant. What a great episode. And just a reminder on why you still need a website. I loved that, because that really supports our book Web Proud, which is all about being proud of your website. We've had it launched on Amazon for just nearly we're coming up to a year, which is very exciting, and so that's really good. But you know, it's a reminder that it's the website is a place to be able to own your own brand and to be able to really tell your own narrative, your own story, and to ensure that you're giving that feeling that you want to give to your ideal clients or customers. That was great. AI podcasts, yep, totally up for that. I don't think people should be put off. And if anything, I liked your idea of using it to do roundups of content. I like that a lot. You're doing some of that, are you not?
For myself, so it's almost like my own private, you know, podcast studio where I want to explore things, I want to study things, and I listen. But what I don't do, which is actually an interesting point, Johnny, I don't share them on. I don't make them available to others, but perhaps I should. I mean, you and I are using Captivate.fm, you know, UK-based hosting company. And what wouldn't I create a channel with essentially like a yeah, help yourself to the recent conversation Pascal had with AI. Yeah, thanks for that.
Well, maybe that is your call to action for this week. Listen, thank you so much for joining us. Whether you've been with us live, whether you're listening on the podcast, you're watching the replay, thank you so much for being here. If you get a moment, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It would mean a huge amount. Tell a friend if this has been helpful as well. And of course, speak to us on any of our platforms. And if you've got some questions or you want to submit anything or you want something on a future episode, please do reach out. That's been episode 48 of the 90 Day Website Mastery Podcast. That's all for now. And we will look forward to seeing you on the next.